Blog Talk Radio.
Soul Solution, Food for the Soul Radio. I'm your co-host, Asiya, and on today's episode, we will be talking about measuring levels of consciousness from the map of consciousness, which comes from the book Power versus Force. Before we get into our topic for today, we have a message from our sponsor, Audible.com.
Happy New Day, everyone. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/soulsolution.
And also, I want to make a few announcements. Every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard, we have group DNA activation sessions. DNA activation is one of the services available in our energetic cleaning, clearing, and reconnecting protocol. We also do advanced soul clearings, property clearings, energetic attunements, Akashic record readings, soul translation reports, human design readings, and more. So if you are interested in any of our services, please visit DNAReplicate.com and also FreeYourMindToShine.com. Also, we have a new YouTube channel specifically for Soul Solution Radio. So you can go on YouTube and type in Laota, L-A-O-T-A, space, of the sun, O-F-T-H-E-S-U-N, and subscribe to our channel and hear all of our archive shows. We also have an event coming up in Fort Myers, Florida, the last weekend in August. And you can visit DNAReplicate.com to find out all of the details and prerequisites that you would need to be able to participate in this event. And those are the announcements for today. And Ms. Laota, our host, will give us the book of the week, and we will get into our topic for today. Ms. Laota, are you there? Ms. Laota, are you there?
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, yes, there you are.
Okay, okay. Thank you so much, Athea.
You're welcome.
And our book this week is our topic for today, which is Power versus Force. I've recommended this book before, but I wanted to go into it in a little bit more depth. I've heard from some of you as listeners who have started reading it and have found it extraordinary and want to share a little bit more with all of you who are listening. So this book is called Power versus Force. It's the Hidden Determinations of Human Behavior, and it's by Dr. David R. Hawkins, who's an MD and a PhD. And it's an extremely interesting and powerful book as it deals with how to discern the truth about just about everything, with really stunning effects. I've been using it myself for many years, and I highly recommend that everyone get it. Audible does have this available, and you can get it as an Audible book. It is somewhat scientific and technical. The conclusions, though, are very easily understandable. The background of the author of the book is that Dr. David Hawkins was a psychiatrist who experienced several life-altering events and throughout his life, and following each event, he noticed a change in his consciousness from the ego-based mind focus to a completely overwhelming state of overpowering bliss, where he felt constant, steady connection with what he calls the presence. And you can find a great deal more about him also on YouTube channels just by typing in Map of Consciousness or Dr. David Hawkins. In this book, he talks about the dramatic change in his level of consciousness, and he decided to pursue the reason why that had changed and how to describe the changes to help mankind to pursue enlightenment. And his desire was to address the causes of endless stream of spiritual distress and human suffering. So this is very much within the area of what we talk about here on Soul Solutions. And there's a great deal more about it, and there's more history, which I'll go into. I want to welcome anyone who has any thoughts or who has read the book or who has used this method to call in and to be part of the dialogue today, because it's quite interesting and beneficial. And I'll give you a little bit more background about the main points of the book. The main idea that most people get from this book and that we want to work with a little bit today is the map of consciousness, which is a numerical scale where you can measure positive from negative. It's really being able to measure the power of and force of the truth as opposed to the power of or the force of falsehood. So Dr. Hawkins believed that every word, every thought, and every intention created what he called a metamorphic field or attractor field, and that these energy fields can be measured by a very simple process, and the process is well established, and it's known as kinesiology. Those of you who listen all the time know that we use kinesiology all the time, very simple, very basic kinesiology. When we talk about food, when we're working with DNA replicate, we talk about talking to your body, asking your body about food, going into the grocery store, speaking directly to your food through your body and getting accurate answers. So this is exactly the same thing. This is a very similar idea, and it's part of the greater whole, actually. So kinesiology is a study of muscles and their movements, and especially as it's applied to the physical condition. So the study of kinesiology has gained some scientific attention because Dr. George Goodhart was a pioneer of applied kinesiology. And this has been very beneficial with people getting vitamins and minerals and supplements in the right dosages and strength through the indicators of muscle. And, of course, you know, chiropractors, and now there are, like, degrees in kinesiology. So this is almost mainstream, not quite, but almost mainstream. The idea of being able to, your muscles to indicate strength or weakness in the presence of positive or negative experiences is very clear. I actually went around the country talking about this many years ago and doing demonstrations. But one of the things that happens with the map of consciousness is that it reflects the calibrations of food, of statements, of photos, of influential leaders, of people, of books, of human endeavors. These, all of these can be measured. And the methodology of measurement is through kinesiology. So that's what we want to talk about today. We welcome all of you to call in. We will stop what we're doing to take your calls and so that we can respond to your thoughts on these topics. The idea is to, the one of the reasons I'm doing this show today is this is a way for us to be able to see ourselves in the greater image, and the map of consciousness directly relates to our chakra system. You know, the chakra system, the crown chakra being at one level and the base chakra being at another, the lower emotions being in the lower centers. All of these things are directly related to the map of consciousness. For instance, the level of 600, which is the map goes from 20 to 1,000. The level 600 corresponds to the crown chakra. The level 500 corresponds to the heart chakra. The level of 200 and up is the solar plexus. And this has to do, you know, what's below the solar plexus has to do with lower emotions, lower attitudes, resentment, jealous, envy. All of these things are associated, or the base chakra is associated with survival. And there's a very clear correlation, as well as, you know, we have frequency wars, and we talk about frequency all the time at DNA Replicate. These calibrations also directly relate to the frequencies, the megahertz, the actual frequencies themselves. All of this is lining up. So this lines up on the psychological or psychiatric level. It lines up on the spiritual level, and it lines up in every other way that we can identify. So there's many ways to look at this, all of which we find very beneficial, and I know some of you have been looking at the map of consciousness, so I'm going to give you just a kind of a little bit about it, and then we're going to talk in detail. So there is this logarithmic calculation, which is not the same thing as arithmetic. It's important to remember that the calibrations and the figures that we're going to talk about are not arithmetic, they're logarithmic, which means that, for instance, if I say the level 300 is not twice the amplitude of 150, it's 10 to the 300th power. So that means that the increase of even just a few points, so if we're talking about a person who is at a certain point or a certain mindset or a certain understanding at a certain point, these points represent major advancements in power. So, for instance, most people don't change very much. We probably all know people who are in the same situation they were in when they were growing up. They may still live in the same house. They may still be doing the same things in the same time. This is a representation that at whatever level of consciousness they are, they're probably at the same point that they were, so to say, born into. Then we know other people who are doing other things that have expanded them outside of the frequencies that they were born in. So that in and of itself is not a positive or a negative. It's just an example of we can see in our daily experience that some of us stay within the frequencies that we were brought up in and some of us expand outside of them. So any movement in the numbers, in the actual logarithmic numbers, it's very major. It's really a sign of a huge increase in how this is done. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the levels below 200 because the map starts at 20 and there's a monolithic point at which we reached at 200 that is like a break point. And in spiritual evolution, this makes a big difference because the levels below 200 are often destructive. And they generally involve things that are like shame or guilt and all the things that we have all experienced in life. But when we look at this as a map of consciousness, it makes a big difference. For instance, in the level of, I'm looking at the map of consciousness, which you can pull up on your computers if you want, because it's available online and it's available on YouTube, and you can look at the map as the way it's figured out. And this is what is said about the level 200. The lower levels of consciousness, which include shame, guilt, hate, apathy, grief, fear, desire, anger, and pride, these are the levels that are most painful that we experience, and it is the pain of these levels that creates and drives us to our desire for understanding inner growth. Perhaps it is not our our intention is to grow spiritually, but this becomes a result after much inner reflection and discussion. These levels are dominated by falsehood. So this is what in the book Power versus Force that Dr. Hawkins says concerning these lower levels. And we know and we can see in the practice at DNAReplicate.com, we can see that shame, guilt, hate, apathy, fear, desire, and pride are areas that people often move out of. So this is, it really makes sense to us to talk about this. So I'm going to start with the first level, and then I'm going to ask Asiya if we don't have a caller, I'm going to ask Asiya if she's understanding and getting the information as and in lieu of all of you who will be listening now or listening later. The level of shame is very close to death. I'm not reading this exactly. I'm giving you an approximation of this. When a person is at the level of shame, it is often at that point that they contemplate suicide. And if a person moves out of shame, often they can avoid the frequencies or the patterns that bring them into this death kind of longing. And this sometimes this happens because a person has an awareness of pain, of losing face or becoming discredited or feeling like a non-person. This is when people hang their heads and they kind of slink around, and that would be the language we would use, and they kind of wish they were invisible. Or in traditional indigenous people, when someone would be banished, it would be accompanied by this experience of shame in a primitive society. Banishment would be the equivalent of death because if you couldn't be one, then you wouldn't be able to survive. Often in early life, there are experiences of shame such as sexual abuse or that warp the personality. And these things are so destructive emotionally and psychologically to our health that the consequences are low self-esteem, which makes one prone to the development of physical illness. So sometimes when we see people coming in who have great illnesses, it's because they have carried with them shame from their early childhood. And this is why a lot of personalities become withdrawn and introverted as a result of shame. That's not to say that that's always the case. Shame is also a tool of cruelty, and often people who are treated cruelly become cruel. Shame children often are brutal to animals and to each other. These are things that are documented and proven scientifically, and that we have plenty of material to support. Often people who are calibrating at 20, which is the energy level of shame, are dangerous and they're prone to hallucinations, and they're accusatory in nature as well as paranoid. Some become psychotic and commit bizarre crimes. So in our current experience, we know because of what we hear on the news that this may be relevant to some of the ones who are doing things that we see in the news. Some shame-based individuals compensate with perfection or becoming rigid, becoming driven or intolerant. There are notorious examples of amoral extremists who form vigilante groups, projecting their own unconscious shame onto others. And they feel very justified and righteous in attacking. Serial killers are often acting out sexual moralism with the justification of punishing those who are bad. And so this pulls down the whole level of the personality, and shame results in the vulnerability of the other negative emotions, and therefore produces false pride, anger, and guilt. So this sounds like something right out of our headlines. So, Atiya, are you following this, and is this are you finding this a good way for me to share this information? Is it easy to follow? I'm going to ask you to be my barometer here.
Yes, I have the map of consciousness pulled up, so I'm following along as you're talking. So it's easy for me, and like you said, for those listening and those who will listen and to the archives, they can always pull up the map of consciousness. It's plenty of them available on like Yahoo Images or Google Images. So yeah, I'm following pretty well, and I'm seeing how everything is broken down.
Right, and as we go in, if anybody wants to ask any questions about this, we can. This is a book I and a process of thinking that I've studied for a long time, and I understand that not everything is perfect, but I think this will have, knowing what consciousness is, knowing where we begin and where we end, I think allows us an opportunity to strive for higher positions and to see where we've been in the past. So I think this is going to be very helpful, and I cannot encourage those who are listening enough to review this material. Go to audible.com, get this book, or, you know, get it as a hard copy. I have both, and I have found it very interesting, and every time I review the material, I gain something from it. So the next energy level after shame, the next energy level is guilt. And this is something we're also all familiar with, because in our society, guilt is used to manipulate and to punish us. And it manifests in a variety of different expressions, such as remorse, self-recrimination, masochism, and a whole group of things that fall into the category of victimhood. Unconscious guilt results in psychosomatic diseases, accident proneness, which is kind of an interesting thing, accident prone, because accidents usually, if they don't involve anyone else, are really all about you and your experience. This guilt involves suicidal behaviors. Many people who struggle with guilt attempt to escape it, but it's very difficult to escape unless you have a system to help you out of it, because in our society, and I want to just kind of put this in here, that I'll put it in at this time, that some of you may have heard, it's kind of a famous thing, that if you want to be successful, you should surround yourself with successful people. Well, there have been many studies, and science has proven even more, in more detail, that that is true, and it's true to the extent that in 5 years' time, if you surround yourself with people who are making a different income, a higher income than yours, within 5 years, you'll be within 10% of their income. So if you're making $25,000 a year and the people that you're hanging out with are making $75,000 a year, if these are your friends, these are the people whose frequencies that you are in, are there, these are the attractors. This is the weight of the energy with which they operate, and you're in that energy field or in that frequency or in that vibration, and you're in it consistently, then you will automatically move into that field and be within that within 5 years. And so, of course, the opposite applies, so which is why we want to make sure that people who, that there are no areas of great congregations of people who are sad or depressed or unhappy, because then the people who are born into those areas and the people who are in those areas are the weight of the frequencies themselves will be the attractor points. So it works in on both ways. It works on the side of increasing your income, and it works on the side of keeping you in behavior that would be less than desirable. So domination results in the preoccupation with sin, which is an unforgiving emotion and attitude, which frequently is exploited by religions. And it is used to coerce and to control us, such as sin and salvation. These are merchants obsessed with punishment and are likely acting out their own guilt and projecting it onto others. So this helps us see what's going on around us when people talk to us about their belief systems. It helps us see what it is that we're letting into our mind. And this, I hope, will give us clarity so that we can make decisions, use our free choice to choose to accept or to not accept some of these kind of frequencies that are coming in through the mouths of people who we know and love in our own families. So if guilt is something that people are looking to put onto us, we have the opportunity to reject it. There are subcultures that are aberrations of the self-flagellation that is this form of cruelty, which is guilt. And this is things like ritual killings, killing of animals, the rage that is invoked by guilt. Is another one. Capital punishment is an example of guilt-ridden public, unforgiving society that scorns its victims in the press and then punishes them and has never demonstrated how to create a deterrent or a corrective value. But we are doing that. We are working to correct and deter through the person's willingness to shift and change. So the next level of energy is the energy of apathy. And this is usually what we see in poverty and despair and in hopelessness, where the world and the future look bleak, where the theme of life is a state of helplessness, and when people are victims and they're needy in every way and they lack resources. And one of the things that I have noticed, especially in the media, is that everyone hates a victim. People want to, you know, we hear things like, well, they're losers or they're takers, or we hear this kind of language when a person is apathetic. So what happens is it's a self-perpetuating experience because the person can never really get help from it because they're seen as a scourge. Unless, you know, this happens unless there is available energy for, so to say, as caretakers that can help assist in the result that would be an improvement on that. This apathy, you know, causes a loss of will to live. And it's that look in a person's eyes where they have this blank stare, this unresponsive, they're unresponsive to stimuli, and they don't, their eyes don't track. This is how they measure it, and by a psychiatrist or a doctor would measure it, or they don't have enough energy to swallow their food. This is the level of apathy. This is the level of people who we see who are homeless. This is a measurable consciousness level. If you've been to New York or any city in this country, or even I've even seen it in Paris in the subways, where you see a person who's homeless and there's this look on their face that's apathetic. We often see derelicts in our society. When I was growing up, it was called the people on Skid Row. This is the level or the energy level of apathy. So this is a measurable level, just as the higher levels that we're going to talk about are. These are identifiable. It is possible for us to know where a person is by these kinds of behaviors and attractor points. This is often an energy level where there's chronic illness and progressive diseases, and people become isolated and are dependent. And apathy are, this is the burden, this is the ones who are heavy, are those around us. Society often has not developed the motivation to be of any real help for people at this level. Like in the streets of India in Calcutta, this is the place where Mother Teresa worked, and worked with the abandoned, and worked with the ones who didn't have the courage to face life. So these are the energy levels of apathy, and we do have more to talk about, because the next energy level is grief, but we're going to take just a little pause before I get to grief.
Soul Solution Food for the Soul Radio is happy to be sponsored by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. They have over 150,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now. And if you sign up at our URL, which is audibletrial.com/soulsolution, you get one free audiobook and a one-month trial of service.
There are so many levels for us to go through. I'm not sure if we're going to get through all of them today, but I think it's so important for us to know that when we're looking into someone's face, what we're looking at. We're looking at someone on the street who has an apathetic look. We can see that they're at the level 50, that they're, you know, not that far from death. When we're looking at someone who is in grief, or when we're looking at someone who is having some other experience, that it's important that we know where it is, and then we can begin to be the solution, to be the ones who help bring people into levels that are higher, that can benefit all of us on the planet, because we are all connected through mass consciousness. So those of us who are above the levels of 200, or we're not in these low areas, our voices need to be heard, and also our willingness to help those who are in levels below us, so that we can bring us all to a level where those who are on this planet are vibrating at a higher level. It's very easy for us to see what's happening in the news with serial killers, what's happening on the street with the homeless, but the solutions that we have arrived at as a majority have not been sufficient to change our experience. So one of the reasons I'm going over this is so that we can see also where we have been. All of us have probably been through this, even if we didn't stay in these frequencies. We may have been apathetic at certain times and, you know, not wanted to get up or comb our hair or leave the house. We may have felt shamed and had our head, you know, walked with our heads down. So knowing these levels of consciousness help us also applaud and embrace the fact that that's not where we are. And no one is always just in one place. People are between several different categories, but we average out, hopefully, to a higher level. So with the energy of grief, which is the energy at the level of what's called 75, and remember this is a logarithmic number, taking into consideration all the people who are on the planet, this is the level of sadness, loss, and dependency. And most of us have experienced this in certain periods of our lives. I know I used to play some slit your wrist music when I was a teenage girl. You know, I'd have to put on something, you know, really sad and be really sad for a long time until I could get beyond it. But most of us have definitely experienced this. And so this is the level of grief. It's the level of mourning and bereavement and remorse about the past. It is also the level of someone who is a chronic gambler and who accepts failure as part of their lifestyle, and who's often this results in loss of job, loss of friends, loss of family, loss of opportunity, as well as money and health. Major losses early in life make one vulnerable to this kind of passive acceptance of grief later on. Grief is something that all of us have an opportunity to and should go through at some level, but to stay in it is a problem. The fact that we think that love can be lost is not the truth. Love can change the channels through which we experience it, but if we're grieving someone who has passed over or who is no longer with us, it's actually not the truth. The fact of the matter is that, and we know this because we're dealing with this all the time and at DNAReplicate.com, and that you can be in contact with the ones who are not here, even whether they have a body or not. So this idea of bereavement and grief to the point of self-extinction is an untruth. If we would reach beyond our cultural understandings and expand ourselves out, or we can get with those who do that professionally, we can have the experience of being with another, or we can pray, and our ancestors and the ones who have been away from us will be around us. So there is no loss of love. There is no way to lose love. If you love someone, you still love them. You love them in this dimension or in the next. So this idea of grief is something that's understandable, that we would miss the physical presence of a person, but the fact that we think a person is irreplaceable and has been lost to us forever and they symbolize a loss that equates itself with losing love is not true. So this is something I'm really happy to mention and talk about, because there's just so much more. Even the trauma that accompanies the grief can be taken care of. We are constantly doing soul retrievals and working with people all the time, bringing back the traumatized aspects of ourselves through love to help people gain their wholeness again. So these ideas exist, and each thing has its place, and all of us have probably experienced all of them, but to stay in them always represents becoming in partnership with something that's a falsehood, something that's not the truth. You know, we are established in truth. Our bodies were established in truth. We are spiritual beings. We were established in truth. And everything that is less than truth or not truth diminishes us and takes our power away from us. So if nothing else, and there's many reasons to be happy about this, this piece of literature, this scientific endeavor, this spiritual opening called the Map of Consciousness, this helps us see the difference between falsehood and truth, because we are, from the very essence of us, the truth. So anything less than that diminishes us and takes from us our power, our strength, from our body, our spiritual expression, and our light quotient. So the next level is the level of fear, which is level 100. At this level, there's much more energy available. At the lower levels, there's not very much life force or energy available. Actually, fear is kind of healthy because it's smart to be afraid and run when you need to run and be afraid of old enemies and make sure that in a primitive setting that you run when the bear comes and when the dog bites and all those kinds of things. And some of the fears that we have are social, and some of them are from our parents, and some of them are from our lineage. And these are, many of these are good motivators. And what I have noticed is that much that comes into us through our lineage and much that comes into us through our parents had its purpose and served us. Although as we grow and develop, holding on to those things may not serve us in the same way. The world can be very hazardous. There are threats, there are traps, there are all kinds of situations where we could be controlled and oppressed by a whole variety of institutions and corporations and governmental agencies, as well as media and advertising. There are lots of professions that use fear to help us make decisions that are in their favor, you know, and to scare us through science, you know, in hospitals and a variety of things like that. The proliferation of fear is, it's just amazing. It's limitless. Fear is the focus of a worrisome event. And fear becomes obsessive when you're at this level where there's trepidation of losing your relationship through jealousy or chronic stress levels or feeling like you're paranoid or neurotic. And these things are contagious. So if you're working in a situation or living in a home where people have this kind of fear, it's almost like a virus or bacteria that it can infect you, and then you will start to show the symptoms of the same thing. However, fear limits the growth of the personality, and it leads to inhibitions. And so when we have people who are leaders who are fearful, it's impossible for us to be led out of our own fearful slavery if we're being led by people who are fearful. So that's just, it's kind of food for thought. We can think about what goes on, our own fears. One of the things that is almost always the case with fear is that it's not standing in front of you at the moment. It's always a perception of something that's going to happen later. And when that perception is presented that way, where it's going to happen later, what happens is that we are never in the moment. We have abandoned the moment in which we can establish our own power. We have power in the moment we're in, but if we're always in the future anticipating the fear that we think is going to happen, that's a problem because we lose all our power. We can't really make anything happen by going back and revisiting our past or by moving into the future and abandoning the moment that we're in, which is where we have the power. Now we're going to talk about one of the higher levels, which is 125, which is the energy level of despair. I'm sorry, of desire. And desire activates our brains in certain ways. It activates our all human activity. Desire activates the economy and expands our efforts. It helps us achieve our goals. It helps us obtain rewards, money and prestige and power. All have to do with the idea of desire. And that happens after we've risen above fear. Desire is also the level of addiction. And this is where we crave things more than life itself. And some people are victims of desire and actually become unaware of the basis of their motives. Some people become addicted to hunger for attention and drive others away by constantly calling or texting or, you know, needing to have another person's attention. And I think all of us have probably encountered that. Or the yearning for sexual approval, or through cosmetics or plastic surgery or Botox or all of those kinds of things that are involved with that when it's at a level that it's out of control. Desire has to do with accumulation and greed. The insatiable idea of this field that nothing can be satisfied, that there's always a craving. It's like someone who's, you know, has $1 billion, but all they want to do is acquire more, where there's nothing wrong with desire, but it can become addictive in this frequency and in this field, this energy level of 125. It is a much higher state than apathy or grief, because to want something means that you're alive and you have the energy to go and get it and try to get it and think about it. And so you're moving way above anybody who would be in grief or apathy or any of the other lower levels. So it's kind of a springboard to your awareness. The next energy level is 150. And this is the energy level of anger. And this is one that many of us are aware of, and I think it's important to bring to your consciousness so that when we see people in the streets and when we see anger in our homes and when we see anger in our children, we know what we're looking at. So the energy level of anger is 150. And this is the level that leads to war or to homicide. Anger can be destructive and it can be constructive. As people move out of apathy and grief and overcome fear and they start to desire things, then that desire leads to frustration and the frustration leads to anger. But anger can be a fulcrum by which the oppressed are eventually catapulted to freedom. Fury over the injustice or victimization of a group or people or individuals can create huge movements of social change. So anger is a positive place to be in its place, so to say. When anger is expressed more often than resentment or revenge, there's usually a volatile and dangerous reaction. Anger can also be a person's way of life, and it's exemplified by being irritable or explosive, or people who are oversensitive to slights, or they are injustice collectors, quarrelsome or belligerent. Anger stems from frustrated want. Its base is that energy field. Frustration results in an exaggerated importance on the desires. Angry person may go into rage like a frustrated infant. Anger leads easily to hatred, and this is the very detrimental effect on the person's health and on the ones around them, on their children, on the ones who are in their frequency fields. So anger is can catapult us out of a level of non-movement. And at the same time, it can go too far and start to be a detriment to your health and the ones around you. And we're going to be moving on now to pride. And it doesn't look like we're going to have time to cover all of these today. But I hope that you all will find this interesting, that this study that was done, it took many, many, many years to categorize some of these levels of consciousness. And so that we could recognize ourselves and recognize as we grow up the map of consciousness towards higher and higher fields. So the level of energy 175 is pride. And this is, we often used to hear the commercials about the Marines, the Proud, and I don't remember the rest of it, but the Marines use that as one of their motivators. And this is, what did you say? Did you say something?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't press mute again on my phone. I wanted to stop you, actually, because we have a caller, but I was getting ready to text you.
Okay, well, that's fine. We can take the caller before I start.
Okay. All right. Well, we have area code 815, last four digits, 1553. Your mic is unmuted.
Welcome.
Area code 815, last four digits, 1553. Your mic is unmuted.
Maybe they...
Okay, you can go ahead.
Okay,
yeah,
well...
You can go ahead.
All right. The energy of pride is 175. And as I said, this is something that we all remember. The U.S. Marine uses pride as their marketing. And this is in contrast. You know, pride is something that we aspire to, and it's in contrast to the lower energy fields. When people have pride, they feel positive that they can reach this level. They feel self-esteem. They feel that their pain has been, you know, made to feel better than in the lower levels of consciousness. Pride looks good, and it knows it. It struts its stuff in the parade of life. Pride is far enough away from shame and guilt and fear that it can rise a person out of unhappy and uncomfortable circumstances of where they live and the feelings of despair into self-respect. And this is why the Marines use it. It's just a huge jump to being in a more positive place of self-respect. Pride is generally has a good reputation and is socially encouraged. It is sufficiently negative, though, to remain below the critical level of 200. So even though it feels good by contrast to the other levels, the problem is that pride is defensive and vulnerable because it's dependent upon external conditions, without which it can revert back to a lower level. An inflated ego is vulnerable to attack. Pride remains weak because it can be knocked off its pedestal by shame, which is kind of an interesting thought if you think about it. So pride is divisive, and it gives rise to fractionalism, and the consequences are costly. People habitually die for pride. Armies are regularly slaughtering each other for the aspect of nationalism or religious wars or political terrorism or zealotry or Middle East, Eastern Europe, all at the price of pride. This is where, you know, separation and arrogance. The downside of pride is the arrogance and the denial. These are the characteristic blocks to growth. The recovery of the addiction is impossible because the emotional problems that are the defects are denied. The whole problem with denial is one of pride. That's what denial is. So when we're looking at something and we know it to be so, we know the facts support it, but we're talking to people, and this is where, you know, you often hear people say, well, I'm going to agree to disagree with you, where all the facts that are shown, where all of the evidence, where the mountains of truth are presented, and the other person is in denial, this is all about pride. Pride is a sizable block to any real power or any real statue or prestige, because you have to be able to really grow, you'll have to be able to take into account those things that are not external, that are the truth, where you are not in denial because it doesn't support your position. Is that ringing true? I see. Are you? We're almost at the end of the show. I didn't realize it. Is that ringing true? Are you resonating with any of this in the current news?
Yes, I'm. I've had some experiences that deal with all of the lower levels on the map of consciousness that you've spoken of, and I've seen situations from other people as well where, you know, it's just making things make more sense and giving me clarity on certain situations that I've seen unfold that were tied to these lower frequencies. So, yes, I see it.
Well, I actually grew up in an area. I grew up on the west side of Chicago in a very depressed area, and I grew up in all of these frequencies. I lived in these frequencies for a great deal of my life, and even as I moved away, I struggled with all of these lower frequencies. And I'm really happy to say that the last one I'm going to talk about today, and the one that is like the break point, the point at which you can be above the lower frequencies, is the next one I'm going to talk about. But I want to make sure everyone knows that most of us in our human experience, in this lifetime, in our experience, have gone through all of these to some degree, some greater, some lesser, and we certainly all have seen them, and they are playing out in front of us on the news all the time. So this is hopefully a good way for you to kind of zero in and know what you're looking at. But more importantly, you know that we can identify, we can calibrate, we can spiritually and scientifically and socially identify what is happening with any given person at any given moment. So if something is happening, when I do the soul translation, I give people their map of consciousness because it's a very important thing for you to know so that it will encourage you to move forward and that you can appreciate where you are. Almost no one who gets the work done is below the level of 200, which is what I'm about to talk about. And when they are, we produce for them an interference pattern or a frequency in which they can be part of the DNA family and bring themselves into higher levels and greater frequencies. So the last level I'm going to speak about today is the energy level of 200, which is all about courage. Courage is where power first appears. We can test people, with kinesiology and other methods by using the simple things that we teach at DNA Replicate and verify whether the person's at that level or not. And when you are at the level of courage, there are life-supporting fields. The frequencies around you are easily distinguished to positively influence your life. At the level of courage, obtainment of true power occurs. It is also at the level of this level of empowerment where you can do exploration. You can accomplish things. You can have fortitude and determination. And this is where a lot of people are very aware that they don't have fortitude or they don't have determination because the rest of the fields that are attracting fields that are around them don't really allow that to take place. So when you get to the level of courage, which is, you know, we also make a frequency water named courage that brings your frequency to this level. This helps you with accomplishing things, with determination. And this way you don't see the world as hopeless or sad or frightening and frustration, although, you know, not all the time anyway, let's put it that way. It's seen more as exciting and challenging and stimulating, and you'll start thinking, oh, what can I do to bring the level of consciousness of those around me up? What can I do? How can I do it? And almost everyone that I'm working with knows there are healers at some level, knows that they're saviors at some level, knows that they have the responsibility to bring forth the courage to help others. And so this is the level at which everything gets really exciting. It implies a willingness to try new things, to deal with the changes and challenges in life. It's a level of empowerment where you can cope effectively and handle the opportunities in life. You can learn new job skills. You can grow and become educated to obtain goals. There's a capacity to face fears or character defects and to grow in spite of them. It's like looking at something that our society may think is unattractive and turning it upside down and seeing it as something that's positive that you can do something with and embracing it. It's kind of like the way, and it applies to you if you have it, kind of like in the 60s, the way the Afro hair was. It was something that was considered a detriment, that you had this kinky hair, and then the courage to rebel against that and wear an Afro. That's a good example of how that would work in a societal, cultural kind of way. So when you can obtain goals and face what you might think is a character flaw based on the society or the culture you're in, and it doesn't cripple you, and it doesn't make you devolve into lower stages, that you can overcome obstacles and defeat the consciousness that's below 200 and act actually as a stimulant for those who are at the lower levels and bring them forward and get them excited. And this is something that Asiya, I'm going to point to you, because the videos, the early videos you did when you came to this work, were courageous. And they were, it wasn't a completely original idea, but it was a courageous idea. And they were so inspiring that people years later are still contacting me because of videos you made 3-4 years ago about your own experiences, which were acts of courage to make that. And so that at that time, I would say that if someone were looking at that, that would be a good example of looking at courage. The people who are at this level put as much into the world as they take out. That's a very major thing, that, you know, we're breathing air, and things are dying so we can live. You know, even the onions and the celery have to die for us to live. We're taking from the world. We're taking the breath from the trees. We're experiencing that kind of egress and regress. So when a person has courage, they're giving back. That's a point at which you have become pertinent, when you're able to give back to the society. When you're below those levels, which we often hear about people who are below those levels, they're not at the point where they can give back yet. But a person who's had courage can start to help that process by giving back. So the people who are below those levels are a drain on our societies, and they're not reciprocating because they can't, the accomplishments result, and they're not accomplishing anything that can result in positive feedback or self-reward or self-esteem to become progressively self-reinforcing. So courage is where productivity begins. And that's where I'm going to end this discussion. If you all want to hear more about this, let us know. Text us, email us, go to DNA Replicate, write us a note, and I will go on until we get to enlightenment, because this would be at least another show. Asiya, did you have anything you wanted to share before we close out for today?
No, but I'm processing what you just said about the courage part in my video, because now that I'm looking back, I really didn't know why I started doing videos. I just knew that it was time for me to share information that I had learned, that I knew at that time was significant information to help people move forward. But I didn't really look at it as courage. It was just something I was prompted to do. But as I'm looking at the map of consciousness and looking at where I'm at now compared to where I was in 2013 when I started, it makes so much sense. It makes a lot of sense, because the way that I would do videos then, it's like that when I hit that courage level, it was like I was bussing through, you know, to the other side, from the weak side to the strong side. So there was this I was coming out of the force into the power aspect of the map of consciousness. So it was a lot of drive. I was dropping videos like 5 at a time, and now it's like it's leveled off because I'm a little bit higher, and, you know, I don't do as many videos as I used to do, but the videos that I am going to do, it's more thought put into it based on the levels of consciousness that I've hit as I've grown over the last couple of years. So you just put some things into perspective for me, and I appreciate that. It just opens some things up right on the spot. So thank you.
Well, if we continue this, if the audience is interested and we continue this next week, I'll talk about where you are now and the kind of work that you're doing, the amazing work with opening your gifts that you're doing with human design. And in the interim period, I'll talk about when you were learning to be an Akashic Record reader. All of these are documented, and you will see yourself as we go through the map of consciousness, because growth can be calibrated. We can identify at any given moment where a person is in their consciousness and how they're doing. This is not one of those things where whatever you know, that you think that you're in an enlightened state, that's verifiable. We can verify when you're in an enlightened state, or when you're in grief, or when you're in courage. So that was the message of today. Thank everyone very much. We love you, and we look forward to you. I want everyone to know, though, that the event that's coming up, I wanted to make sure I mentioned this, on the 28th, 29th, and 30th of August, we have a very small venue. There's a very limited amount of space. So we encourage everyone to move out so you can be part of it. And if you don't make it, we may have another one in October. We just don't have the location yet. So for all of those who are interested, you should contact us so that we know that you want to come. Otherwise, I think from the way things are looking, looks like we may only have this available for another couple of weeks. So thank you all, and in Lakesh, everyone. Thank you, Asiya.
You're welcome, and thank you all for listening. And everyone, have a beautiful day. In Lakesh.